for Walter to get in. I'm waiting on you. One quick announcement, so I'll stay in good with the WMU. Against that wall on a table is a ballot for nominations for Woman of the Year, which in a month will be Baptist Women's Day. So everybody listed are the recipients from past years. So if you'll just write your nominee's name on this line and put it in a box in the vestibule, we will be very appreciative. Now let's all stand. Let's all stand. Okay, and then tell everybody hello that you didn't say hello to. I'm used to walking in with y'all talking so much, and it's just kind of weird walking in at silent. Let's stand, or stand. We're going to sing, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High.
Welcome to today's service and an abbreviated Baptist Men's Day. We decided that instead of having a men's choir and things like that, we would still have our guest speaker, Dr. Allen, who has promised to deliver an outstanding message. And instead of selecting a Baptist Man of the Year, I would like all the men to stand up and just recognize all the men of the church. With the things going on, we just haven't. Walter, stand up. You're a man.
Y'all stand up.
But with everything going on, you know, we've had the men step up and help in all phases of the outdoor services that we had, with a renovation going on in our fellowship hall. Also the honorary women who came and helped, we honor you too. Some announcements. We have a nominating committee meeting the 19th, which is Tuesday. And then on the 31st, the Lord's Supper. We really need to be in prayer for our country. There's so much going on and turmoil that we need to have God take over and be in control. Also like to remember Gene Garner and the loss of his father. We lost Elizabeth Haddock this week, and Dr. Allen, are you going to New Bern? Dr. Allen will be going to New Bern, where her home was at, and do her service. So be in prayer for Dr. Allen for Traveling Mercies. With COVID, every day I hear of somebody. I have a niece and her husband and two children in Ohio that have COVID now. And then heard last night that one of Gwen's brothers' family has COVID. So it's happening everywhere. We just don't know. We see the rollout of the vaccine, And we hope everyone can get that, that can. But be in prayer for the medical people that are working tirelessly to get us through this. Anything else, announcements anyone can think of?
The Relay for Life parking spot, I don't watch the sheet.
Okay. So Relay for Life parking space. Will we have a... Will you have a ballot out there or something?
Yeah, there's a sheet.
Okay, so there's a sheet out there now for Relay for Life parking spot. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for everyone here that is here to worship you. Be with our members that have not been coming to church because of us having the indoor service because of either illness or they're just afraid to come in to be around people. Pray for those. Be with Patsy as she plays and Sherry as she leads in our music. Be with our men. Be with our children as we try to keep going forward. Thank you for Dr. Allen and his message today. In thy name we pray, amen.
Sing the first and the last verse of When We All Get to Heaven. Standing, please.
Reading this morning from Psalm 1. The psalmist tells us, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Let us pray together. And Father, we come to you this morning because we understand that you alone can meet the deepest needs of our hearts. And so here in this place this morning, remove from our minds any barriers of sin or limitations of understanding, that we may hear what you have to say to us this morning, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Open the eyes of our hearts, that we might discern clearly your holy purpose for each one of us, and also for our church. And grant us, Father, courage, and grant us strength to move out from this time and place of worship and claim for ourselves all that you have for us to be, all that you have for us to do as your people. Use us, O God, as we recommit our hands and our hearts and our lives to you and to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen indeed. Thank you, Patsy. In 1 Kings chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, we find King David near the end of his days. Knowing this, David speaks to his son Solomon, saying, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, wherever you turn, that the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all of their heart and all of their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. What an amazing scene this is. And what an amazing gift David is giving to Solomon, his son. These are words of counsel and guidance and encouragement. Be strong, my son. Show yourself a man. Play the man. That is to say, be a real man. And you will notice here that being a real man has nothing to do with physical appearance or one's athletic prowess or one's bank account or the car he drives or the property he owns or the office he holds. According to King David, a real man is a good man. A real man is a godly man, for he is one who walks in the ways of God and keeps his statutes and his commandments as written in the law of Moses. And that should tell us that a real man does not lie, that a real man tells the truth, that a real man has compassion, and a real man has courage, and a real man is a moral man. A real man doesn't grope women and then saying, being rich and famous, they let you do it. And a real man doesn't mock a gold star family still grieving over the loss of a son killed in the service of his country. And a real man doesn't dismiss a hero saying that he's no hero because he was shot down and captured and imprisoned by the enemy. And a real man doesn't ridicule a handicapped reporter with a congenital joint disorder while doing impressions of his uncontrolled movements. And a real man doesn't engage in hate speech, inciting a mindless mob to violence, then scurries away claiming, I did nothing wrong. Doesn't sound like a grown-up man. Kind of makes you wonder who would want to follow such a man. In Psalm 1, we have described for us what a real man, a good man, a godly man looks like. First of all, we are told that he is a blessed man. Now, the word blessed can mean happy or favored or prosperous. Not prosperous in a material sense, but prosperous spiritually. Here is a man who, in his relationship with God, has found meaning and purpose and fulfillment in life. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it to the full." The psalmist tells us, "With you, O God, is the fountain of life." That is to say, in you, in our relationship with you, we have found what life is all about. In your light, do we see light? Walter M. Fox writes, "Most of us want to live in a land that flows with milk and honey, a place where we have the things that we need, where all is well with our families, and we are at peace with ourselves." He went on to say, "We are tempted to mistake success and material prosperity for this land of milk and honey. Recently, I met a man in the supermarket. I would estimate the net worth of his family at $10 to $12 million. Yet in the past 20 years, he and his two sons have been through 8 marriages. His whole being spoke of emptiness and loneliness, not a land of milk and honey. I ate breakfast with another man who had enough diamonds on his fingers to build a beautiful church. With a deep sigh, he remarked to me, 'For the past 10 years, I have wished that I were dead.'" Fox went on to say, "The land of milk and honey is not in the things that we hold in our hands, but what we are in our hearts." To whatever degree he tells us we are open to the will of God, he will lead us into his peace and joy, which is a true land of milk and honey. Dean Jones of Walt Disney fame discovered that truth. He tells us, "I was performing in summer stock at a New Jersey lodge and had gone to my room to be alone. Nothing was satisfying me. I looked out that window and felt fear and confusion. Impulsively, I knelt by the bed and spelled out my doubts to God. I don't know why I was moved to do this, but I said to God, 'If you'll bring meaning to my life, I'll serve you.'" And like the man in our psalm, Dean Jones found life and meaning and purpose, deep fulfillment in a relationship with God through Christ. And the man in our psalm was a steadfast man. He was a determined man. Vance Havner once said, "There's a price to pay to be a godly man. You have to buck the current, because the tide's running the other way." Well, this man in our psalm wasn't afraid to buck the current. This is demonstrated by the things that he will not do. He will not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He simply will not follow their lead. The word wicked can be translated profane, and it literally means outside the temple. The ancient Hebrews considered God as abiding and residing in the temple in Jerusalem, and to be with God meant to come inside the temple and to be with Him. And if you did not come inside the walls, You were without God in the world, so a profane man or an ungodly man is one who's living outside the wall, outside the temple, outside of a relationship with the living God. Not so with the man in our psalm. His relationship to God ran deep. It determined the life that he lived, the choices he made, the things he would do or not do. And then we are told that he does not stand in the way of sinners. You see, he didn't just pay lip service to God on Sunday. He didn't have one life for the church and another life for the world. His relationship to God meant something to him. It was a guiding force in his life, how he lived his life every day. Henry Hines was born in 1844 to German immigrant parents in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He helped support his family as a teenager by growing and selling vegetables from the family garden. After graduating from college and getting married, he started a business selling horseradish. In 1875, a national financial crisis drove his company into bankruptcy. Now, despite the fact that bankruptcy just cleared away all of his debt, Hines regarded his company's outstanding debt as a moral obligation. And he personally paid back every penny. Hines went on to found the H.J. Hines Company with its 57 varieties, becoming a leading American businessman, a devout Christian. He was known for his generous treatment of his employees and his generosity to Christian causes. Throughout his life, it was said that he conducted his business and personal dealings with the same integrity that led him to pay back hundreds of thousands of dollars that legally he did not owe. And when he died, he left a will, and he began his will with these words: I desire to set forth at the beginning of this will, as the most important item in it, a confession of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Those were not just words for Henry Hines. He lived them, and his faith shaped his life. And I would ask you this morning, your confession of faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, is that just words to you? Is that just for the church? Or does it carry over into the world and the life that you live? We're also told that the man in our psalm does not sit in the seat of scoffers, the seat of mockers. For you see, there are those in our world who by their words and also by their very lives, they scoff at, they mock sacred things. Religion is for the weak-minded. And I'm a man's man. That's a paraphrase of Jesse Ventura. former Navy SEAL and actor and former governor of Minnesota. The Ten Commandments, oh, just words embraced by narrow-minded people, but it's not for me. I live by the principle, anything goes. Life is short. If it feels good, do it. Such a man was Oscar Wilde. William Barclay, in one of his little commentaries, quotes Oscar Wilde. He said, "The gods have given me, the gods have given me almost everything, but I let myself be lured into long spells of senseless and sensual ease. Tired of being on the heights, I deliberately went to the depths in search for new sensation. I grew careless of the lives of others. I took pleasure where it pleased me and passed on. I forgot that every little action of the common day makes or unmakes character, and that therefore what one has done in the secret chamber, one has someday to cry aloud from the housetop. I ceased to be lord over myself. I was no longer the captain of my soul, and did not know it, I allowed pleasure to dominate me. I ended in horrible disgrace." But here is another man who, unlike Oscar Wilde, refused to sit in the seat of the scoffers. His name was Jonathan Edwards, a pastor, evangelist, one of the most effective preachers of his day. Edwards said, "I go out to preach with two propositions. First of all, every person ought to give his life to Christ. Second, whether or not anyone else gives him his life, I will give him mine." Such was the man in our psalm. Whether anyone else would give his life to the Lord, the God of Israel, whether anyone else would serve him, whether anyone else would follow him, he would. He would. How about you? What do you say? What does your life say? We're also told that the man in our psalm was a wise man. You see, the word of God for the psalmist, you see, it was more than a prop for a photo op. He actually read it. His delight, we are told, is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The word meditate literally means to murmur or to mutter. Its meaning came from the idea of speaking in a low voice, as one did when he was thinking over something very carefully. See, the picture is that of a man who's reflecting on and concentrating on the Word of God, that he might understand its meaning for his life. Eric Ritz tells the story about a woman who was reading the directions on a Cool Whip container, and it said, "Do not stir." And she thought, well, why not? She decided to phone the company and find out, and the gentleman on the other end of the line said, "Well, did you stir?" And the lady admitted that she did, and he said, "Well, did it go flat?" She said, "Yes, it went flat." The man said, "Those instructions are there for a reason." He said that when Cool Whip is placed in the container, a certain amount of air is included to keep up the volume. If you stir it, you let the air escape, and the Cool Whip goes flat. Zacharias went on to say in scriptures God gives us some fairly explicit instructions on how to live our lives in relationship with Him and with one another and with the entire creation. All of us, He said, need regularly to go back to the Bible, read the directions, and follow them. Flat Cool Whip is not a tragedy, but a life out of focus. Is. Well, here is a man who had his life in focus. He meditates on, reflects on the Word of God that he might order his life accordingly. It was not a burden to read, nor was it painful to follow. But rather, it was a source of inspiration and guidance for his life, for his living. And because that was true, this man in our psalm, we can say, was also a fruitful man. His life, we are told, is like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit. And its leaf does not wither. And we recall those words of Jesus, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain." And so it was with this man in our psalm. He was bearing fruit for God, godly fruit. In the lives of others, because of his life. Robert Hastings tells us it is by people such as this that God breaks through to others. He went on to say, in a sense, we are the only people who can make him real to the great indifferent multitude. If they are to see him at all, they must see him in our lives. If they are to understand how holy and loving and forgiving God is, they must learn it by seeing those very qualities in us. There have been men and women who have so lived their lives that people have seen God in them and been led to adore him and to worship him. Dr. James Stalker used to tell the story about a young man who came to him for membership in the church. And when he asked the young man what prompted him to want to give his life to Christ, he replied very simply that it was the Christian character of the foreman under whom he worked that drew him to the Lord. And I wonder when the story of your life is told, will they tell of such a man? I'm talking about the people who know you best, the people you live with and work with and worship with. When the story of your life is told, will they tell of such a man? A real man? A good man? A godly man? Barry Graves once stated, there comes a time when the boy needs to sit down, and the man needs to stand up. And I submit to you this morning that our families need godly men to stand up today. And our churches need godly men to stand up today. And our nation needs, indeed, our nation is crying out for godly men to stand up and be counted for the Lord. God, give us such men in our day. Real men who will walk in your ways. is my prayer. And our hymn of invitation this morning, may it be for you a time of reflection and a time of recommitment. If you do not know Christ, I hope you'll give him your heart and follow him as we stand this morning. Now may the God who loves you, may he bless you and keep you. And may the Lord cause his face to shine upon you day by day. And may you know his peace as you go your way in Jesus' name.